نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I begin in the name of Allah most gracious, most merciful. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the beneficent, the merciful. We praise Him and we glorify Him and we ask His choicest blessings on the soul of His beloved final Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace. It is my pleasure and my honor to introduce our dear brother, Maulana Imran Nazar Hussain, on this occasion of his second lecture in a series of 12 lectures that are being done by both by him and one of his colleagues, Brother Maulana Siddiq Nasir. From a very early age, Sheikh Maulana Imran Nazar Hussain became interested in the study of Islamic theology, and after a brief stint at Al-Azhar University in Egypt, he went to Pakistan, where he had the good fortune to pursue a full Maulana course at the Alimia Institute in Karachi, Pakistan, at the feet of its founder and principal, Maulana Dr. Fazlur Rahman Ansari, may Allah bless his soul, who himself was an accomplished Islamic theologian, philosopher, and missionary of international repute. Dr. Ansari, may Allah bless his soul, authored a two-volume publication entitled The Quranic Foundations and Structure of Muslim Society, which Sheikh Imran and other colleagues of his regard as one of the most outstanding texts ever written on Islam. Throughout his life, Sheikh Imran has treated his teacher with utmost respect, veneration, love, and admiration. So much so that our Sheikh has devoted his entire lifetime building and expanding on this foundation work published by his teacher, Dr. Ansari. Like his teacher, Sheikh Imran has become a roving international missionary and over the years has become a prolific writer, publishing no fewer than 30 Islamic books, collectively entitled The Ansari Memorial Series, this in honor of his esteemed and beloved teacher. Sheikh Imran has gained a reputation for scaling barriers and venturing into uncharted waters, breaking new ground, stimulating refreshing thought, and inevitably treading on a few toes along the way. In his attempt to present Islam in the context of a modern world order, he has ruffled some feathers. Unrelentingly and persistently, he has pursued the path of presenting Islam in ways that are reminiscent of the glory days when Islam was at the forefront as a beacon light leading mankind to a new world civilization centuries ago. His pioneering work in Islamic eschatology combined with his knowledge as an expert in international relations, singles him out as the only Muslim missionary doing informed commentaries on modern-day world politics. Recently, he has accelerated his effort to renew a revival movement towards a return to adherence to Quran and Sunnah as the only means of lifting the consciousness and morale of a Muslim ummah that is growing weaker by the day. One of his recent books, Methodology for the Study of the Quran, now has a companion volume entitled The Quran and the Moon, and with a subtitle Divine Methodology for Monthly Recitation of Quran. His call is an international appeal for Muslims to embark upon a systematic and disciplined approach of regularly and habitually reciting Quran, completing same on a monthly basis. Today's lecture hinges on the subject entitled The Quran and the System of Time, and promises to be most fascinating. In a brief foreword in the book The Quran and the Moon, I was amazed when I read something which I excitingly felt obliged to share with you, their viewers and listeners. And this is how it went in the book. Knowing truth and tasting truth are not the same. Unless you fly on the wings of time, swim in the ocean of time, lose consciousness of time in a timeless world, you have not as yet tasted truth. The Quran must be recited, it continues, with the moon, and then studied like the stars, precisely for that excitement, that is the taste of truth, in order for you to taste truth. Those whose moon is located in Saudi Arabia or Morocco, even though they are in London, do not know that, and perhaps will never know it. But you, our gentle readers, now know it. So travel on with the Quran, and one day perhaps you may be blessed with an exciting experience of timelessness, and eventually the taste of truth. This topic of truth and this topic that we are going to hear our Maulana on, this question of time. I have heard Maulana Imran say on numerous occasions that his dear teacher, Maulana Dr. Fazlur Rahman Ansari, spent endless hours teaching and explaining, and yet in his youthful age, a lot of what Dr. Ansari was teaching the class eluded him. It is because perhaps it is a bit abstract, and for the young mind, this is what our Maulana had to experience. Today, he is one of our more matured missionaries, and I am sure that he has had a firm grasp of and an in-depth understanding of time and the relationship between time and man. I now leave the rest to our dear Sheikh Imran Hussein.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We begin with Allah's blessed name. We praise Him and we glorify Him as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the Blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as we greet you here in Trinidad in the Caribbean on this, the 10th day of the month of Jumadi al-Akhirah, with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our topic in this series of lectures on the Quran, in which my learned and distinguished brother, Maulana Siddiq Ahmad Nasir, who was a student of Maulana Fadlur Rahman Ansari, will be joining me. My second lecture, the first was on the virus, the vaccine, the masjid and the market. And today we take up an even more important subject, the Quran and the system of time. I remember when I wrote my book entitled Suratul Kahf and the Modern Age, that there is a chapter in that book entitled The Quran and Time. But if you read that chapter, you will see where I'm still a beginner. And now hopefully we'll see some more maturity in my thought. As a brother Nizam Muhammad, in his excellent introduction, reminded us, my teacher of blessed memory, Maulana Dr. Muhammad Fadlur Rahman Ansari, he lectured endlessly on the subject of time. This subject is not taught in any Darulun. We were so lucky to be students at the Alimia Institute of Islamic Studies in Pakistan while Dr. Ansari was alive. And he would speak to us about absolute time, and we'll talk about that today. And he would speak to us about cosmic time and biological time and social time. But I don't remember him speaking to us on lunar time, which is what we're going to be concentrating on today. Most of what he said at that time just flew over my head. I was 22, 23 years of age and very green. But now, alhamdulillah, we praise, thank Allah who sent us such a wonderful teacher who established the foundations for what we now present. We have provided evidence in our book entitled The Quran and the Moon that the daily recitation of the Quran, in conformity with the divine method of recitation for completing the Quran, for khatam the Quran over a period of 1 month, it allows us to live in constant contact with lunar time. I remember when I was in Pakistan, I would say to them in Urdu, Chand ke saath jeena hai, to live with the moon. And we said in this book, The Quran and the Moon, that if you recite the Quran this way, you will live with the moon. This allowed us to understand, now listen carefully, why are all the long surahs of the Quran at the beginning? And why are all the short ones at the end, when the moon is young, when the hilal or the crescent moon appears, and when the moon is young? The divine wisdom has ordained that we must live young, we must feel young, we must act with strength. We must always make our greatest effort at the beginning of the lunar month in whatever work we do. This includes, for those of you who don't have a baby and who want a baby, this includes the efforts of those who are childless and who like to be blessed by Allah with a baby. It is for this reason that Allah has placed the long surahs at the beginning of the Quran. And then as the month progresses, the surahs become shorter and shorter, until when the month is coming to an end, and when the moon has grown old, we are tired. And Allah gives us short surahs, which hardly tax our energy. As we recite the Quran daily, therefore, we live in harmony with lunar time. Those who do not live in harmony with lunar time will pay a terrible price for their neglect of living with the moon. What is that price. Now we turn to an extremely important prophecy of Nabi Muhammad, Allah's blessing be upon him. And it is an ominous prophecy. He said, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, and it is narrated by Ahmad, by Abu Huraira, sorry. The Messenger of Allah said that the last hour will not come until time moves faster and yet faster. A whole year will pass like a month. A whole month will pass and it will seem like just a week. A whole week will pass and it will seem like just a day. And a whole day will pass like an hour, and a whole hour will pass like the amount of time it takes to kindle the fire. Hadith of Sahih Bukhari. We invite you to think in order to realize the ominous implications of this prophecy of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that time would move faster and yet faster. Our response from Islamic eschatology is to explain that this prophecy actually is the success, listen carefully, of Dajjal's attack on the system of time ordained by Allah Most High. Other than innocent children or those who live a life disconnected from the world, almost everybody in the world today is experiencing time moving faster and yet faster. Yet the reality is that time is not moving faster at all. Rather, it is the human heart which is perceiving time moving faster. We wrote the book, The Quran and the Moon, to warn those who are experiencing time moving faster and yet faster, that it is doing so because their hearts have become disconnected from the system of time which Allah has given for His creation. And this has happened precisely because of Dajjal's attack on that system of time. Today we want to remind you that the moon is centrally located in that system of time which was created by Allah. Here is the proof. Surah to Yunus, which is the 10th surah, and this is the 5th verse. And we'll have to come back again and again to Surah to Yunus, verse number 5. بَعْدَ أَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ هُوَ الَّذِي جَعْلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلَ لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ يُفَسِّرُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. He it is who has caused the sun to be a source of radiant light, and with that light the moon is illumined. And He has ordained stages of growth and stages of decline of the moon, so that you might have a system of time with which to compute the years, to count the years, and to compute time. None of this has Allah created without truth and inner truth. Clearly does He spell out His messages for people of insight, unless the human heart beats in harmony with the system of time in Allah's creation, it will not be Salim. What is Salim? Salim is to be sound and healthy. The further implication is that such a heart will experience difficulty in receiving nur from Allah. Nur is light. And would experience difficulty in getting shifa. Shifa, healing. Indeed, this is so important that the Quran has declared that nothing will help you on Judgment Day. Nothing will help you on Judgment Day. Nothing will help you on Judgment Day other than a heart which is salim, which is sound and healthy. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On Judgment Day, neither your wealth nor your children can help you in any way. Rather, the only thing that will help when we stand before Allah is a heart which is salim, a heart which is sound and healthy. Now then, a heart is not salim when it is in a state of disharmony with the rest of Allah's creation, when it is not beating in harmony with the system of time ordained by Allah for His creation. That heart is not salim. It's like your engine of your motor car, which is out of tune. You stay with that engine, the performance will continue to decline and decline until one day the car won't work. Similarly, with a heart which is not salim, it will continue to decline and decline and decline and decline until one day you're just like the sheep and the cattle and the goats and the camel. If after experiencing time moving faster and yet faster, you now recite the Quran with the methodology as taught in my book, The Quran and the Moon, and then you no longer experience time moving faster and faster, what would be the implication? It would be that your heart would have been restored to a state of harmony with the system of time in Allah's creation. The other implication would be that the knowledge of this subject which is presented in that book would be validated. The division of the Quran as ajza for daily recitation over a period of 1 month was not done haphazardly. The Quran in the Moon has presented ample evidence which confirms that the recitation of the Quran in accordance with the correct ajza would restore our hearts to a state of harmony with the moon, and thus to the system of time ordained by Allah Most High for mankind. We have offered views concerning the synchrony which exists between the recitation of the azhar of the Quran over a period of one lunar month on the one hand, and the passage on the other of the different stages in the movement of time in the divinely ordered system of time. Now then, globalization is not taking place in the modern world by accident. Islamic eschatology it is which explains that Dajjal, the false messiah, needs to bring all of mankind into one global melting pot, one global society. It will be a society in political, in economic, in monetary submission to him, in order for him to realize his objective of ruling the world from Jerusalem. We have explained this subject in books of ours, such as Jerusalem in the Quran, explaining Israel's mysterious imperial agenda, Dajjal, the Quran, and Awwal al-Zaman. Perhaps the most difficult and frustrating thing in Allah's creation that Dajjal has ever encountered in his quest to build a single, global, interconnected society which would operate like clockwork, like the trains in Switzerland. This biggest problem he has is the divinely calibrated system of time that Allah has given us, which is imprecise. I hope you don't object to my use of the word imprecise. I don't mean anything to be negative. What I mean by imprecise is that it cannot be universally applied. Why? In the system of time which Allah has given, the world in our vicinity in which we live, we have to wait until the 29th day of the month has ended, the lunar month. Until the 29th day of ended, before we can know whether the month will end or will continue for one more day. Can you universalize such a system of time? Impossible. And yet, this is the system of time given in the Quran. And this is the system of time given by Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who raised his hands like this. He said, we are a people who cannot read and could not write. He said, the month for us is this, and then this, and then this. 30 days. He had difficulties with his wives. Anybody who has more than one wife would know that you would have difficulties with your wives. And his difficulties were so great that he decided once to stay away from all his wives for 1 month. One whole month. So at the end of the 29th day, he came out of seclusion, of khalwa. And he came to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. She said, why have you come? The month has not yet ended. This is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Why have you come? The month has not ended. He said, Aisha, sometime the month has 29 days and sometime 30 days. And so now we know the system of time which has come from Allah and which has come from Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is a system of time in which a month can have 29 days or 30 days, and you will not know whether it will have 29 or 30 days until the 29th day has ended. This system of time is imprecise, and therefore it cannot be universalized. Dajjal cannot establish a global society that operates like clockwork with this system of time. He needs to get all of mankind to abandon this system of time so that he can establish that global society. Will he succeed in getting the followers of Muhammad to abandon that system of time? This is what Yunus, the verse 5 said. Listen to it again. He it is who has made the sun a source of radiant light, and with that light the moon is illumined, and he has ordained stages of growth and of decline for the moon, so that you might have a system of time with which to compute time and compute the years and to measure time. None of this has Allah created without an inner truth. Clearly does he spell out these messages unto people of insight. Let us explain one more time that a lunar month in which a month can sometimes have 29 days and sometimes 30 days is imprecise, because the 29th day of the month has to end before anyone can know whether the month would now end or whether it will continue for one more day. It was by divine design that a system of time based on the moon would frustrate the establishment of a global system of time that would collect all of mankind into a single grid. The consequences of failure to establish that universal grid with a universally applicable, precise system of time would be catastrophic. Business, for example, cannot be conducted throughout the world instantaneously through cyberspace with such a system of time. The moon does not exist and function in a vacuum. The moon is a part of a larger whole in which all parts of Allah's creation move in harmony with each other. No part can ever overtake the other. لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَاللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Surah Yasin, verse 30. Neither can the sun overtake the moon, nor can the night usurp the day, since all of them float through space in accordance with our laws. When Allah Most High created the Samawat, or the parallel universes, and the earth, and then sent mankind to live in this material universe in which we now live, He created and He designed everything in accordance with a mizan, or balance, and He warned mankind not to disturb, not to forsake that balance. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانَ اللَّهَ تَدْقَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانَ. And He raised the sky high. This is Surah Ar-Rahman, verses 7 and 8. And He raised the sky high and established in all of His creation a balance with this grave warning: do not disturb or transgress that balance. It should be obvious to our readers that the moon and the system in which in the system of time in which the moon is centrally located is integrally connected to that mizan referred to above. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared, "I am time," the implication is that absolute time is with Him, absolute truth is with Him, absolute time is with Him. Listen to this hadith in Sahih Bukhari, which is also in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Abu Huraira. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "The son of Adam abuses me. He curses time. But I am time. And in my hand are night and day." When He further declared that He created all of creation in 6 days, and then He established Himself on the arsh, or the throne, or the command center, from which He rules and controls all creation, the implication is that absolute time is located at the arsh, and hence all parts of the system of time are ultimately connected to absolute time at the arsh. Here's one of several verses of the Quran which takes us to the arsh, the command center. الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ الرَّحْمَنُ فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا. He it is who has created the heavens and the earth and all that is in between them in 6 days, and He is established on the throne of His Almightiness, the Most Gracious. Ask them about Him, the One who is truly aware. In addition to absolute time, the Quran has also revealed the existence of cosmic time as that dimension of time which connects with absolute time. يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان مقداره ألف سنة مما تعدون. He governs all that exists, from the celestial space to the earth, and in the end all shall ascend unto Him for judgment on a day the length of which will be like 1,000 years of your reckoning. This is cosmic time. He says again, يَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. The angels and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Ruhul Qudus, they ascend to Him daily in a day the length of which is like 50,000 years. This is cosmic time. It is certain that a system of multidimensional time must have a mizan which connects absolute time with cosmic time. and then connects cosmic time with lunar time. And so it is certain that the Mizan must connect them harmoniously with each other. If we lose, or we become disconnected with lunar time, or the world in time in which we, the world of time in which we live here, then the world of cosmic time, which is the medium through which absolute time can be approached, would remain inaccessible. Let me repeat that. If we lose or become disconnected with lunar time, then the world of cosmic time, which is the medium through which absolute time can be approached, would remain inaccessible. The price we would then pay is that nur, or sacred light from Allah, can no longer come down as on us from the world of cosmic time in order to enter our hearts. When we have no nur or light in our hearts, we will remain a people who are internally blind. The dreadful implication of such blindness is that we will be raised blind in the next world as well. Man kana fi hazihi a'ma fa huwa fil akhirati a'ma wa adallu sabil. Whoever is blind, in Surah Al-Isra verse 72, whoever is blind in this world, that is internally blind, will be blind in the world to come as well, and will be further astray from the path of truth. One of the consequences of blindness in this world is that people would not think. They would not use their rational faculty to recognize truth. They would be devoid of something called basar, and hence cannot see with the nur of Allah. This is precisely the kind of world that Dajjal seeks to achieve. And Allah has delivered a dire warning to such people. وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكًا وَنَخْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْكِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Listen. But as for him who turns away from remembering me, living for me, he will be confined to a narrow and a meaningless life. And on judgment day, we will raise him up blind. When Allah Musa created this Sama ad-Dunya, the lowest heaven, the material universe, he also created doors and gates through which we can pass from this world of space and time to other worlds of space and time. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي هَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُجْرِمِينَ. The doors or the gates of the universe through which the angels descend into this world of space and time, and which servants of Allah can traverse with basar, internal insight, beyond this world to other worlds of space and time, would not be open to those who scornfully reject our ayat. And they cannot enter Jannah, never, until a camel can pass through the eye of a needle, never. And thus we do punish those who are lost in sin. Allah has created a system of time in which we are supposed to live, and through which we are supposed to measure time. He has created a system in time of time with which we are supposed to live, and through which we are supposed to measure time, and more importantly, to traverse through different worlds of space and time. This system of time was created and designed by Allah Most High to play a critically important role in our spiritual life. We must see with it. We must hear with it. We must think with it. We must live with it. We must sleep with it. We must wake with it. Most importantly of all, our hearts must beat in synchrony with it. When people stop thinking, Dajjal seduces them to disturb and to transgress that balance as it applies to the system of time. The consequence is that they lose meaningful contact with the system and path of time, and they pay a dreadful price for it. They are reduced to the like of sheep and cattle and goats and camels. We remind those who still think that the hilal or the crescent moon and the different phases of time that we see with our naked eyes are all located at the very heart of the system of time. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. And they question you, O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, about the crescent moon. Say to them, the crescent moon delivers a system of time through which time can be measured, and the crescent moon will therefore determine the time of the Hajj, or the pilgrimage to Kaaba. The Quran has further explained that the function of the sun in that system of time is to illumine the moon, and the constant movement of the moon around the earth is designed to allow the moon to be progressively illumined. Progressively illumined in such a way as would deliver a system of time with which mankind can compute time. Let's go back again to Yunus, verse 5. It is he who has made the sun a source of radiant light, and in that light the moon is illumined, and he has ordained phases of growth or stages of growth and of decline for the moon, so that you might be able to count the years and to compute time, measure time. None of this has Allah created without haqq and inner truth. Clearly does he spell out these messages for people of insight. Allah Most High has reminded us, lest we forget, that the night, the day, the sun, the moon, the stars, have all been created in order to function for the sake of mankind, and all functions in a way which provide benefit for mankind. The Quran explained that the stages of growth and decline of the moon are meant to provide a compass with which mankind should navigate time throughout the period of a lunar month. For the servants of Allah Most High, there is no month other than a lunar month. For the servants of Allah Most High, there is no other month than a lunar month. So long as mankind live with the moon, from the time of its birth as a crescent moon, and through its stages of growth and decline until it returned like an old, dry, withered branch of a date palm, mankind lived in a normal world in which a year would pass like a year, and a month like a month, and a week like a week. The normal world of time was also a sacred world of time, and hence time could function as a vehicle for the heart to travel to worlds beyond this world. I remember the famous poet of India before Pakistan was born, Dr. Muhammad Iqbal. He said, Sitaro se aage jahan aur bhi hai. Beyond the stars, there are many more worlds. The pagan Arabs changed that system of time, and as a consequence, many of them remained deaf, dumb, and blind when Allah Most High raised the last of the prophets from their own ranks. The Quran took note of this kufr, this disbelief of the pagan Arabs, who corrupted time, because they would add one more month to the 12 months of the year every 3 years, so that the lunar year and the solar year will coincide with each other. Ramadan would always be in summertime. Allah Ta'ala took note of this and made mention of it in Surah At-Tawbah. إِنَّمَا النَّسِيُّ زِيَادَةٌ لِلْكُفْرِ إِذَا أَخِذَ الْآيَةِ. Check the ayah, Surah At-Tawbah, verse 37. There is yet another instance. This is yet another instance of the rejection of truth that they interfered with, and they changed the system of time ordained by Allah Most High, in which a year is comprised of 12 lunar months. Rather, they made it permissible, to add another month on some occasions. This adding an additional month was a corruption of the system of time given by Allah. And then came another pagan civilization, which appeared in the world in the end time, in the form of modern Western civilization. And like the pagan Arabs, this civilization chose to stay with 12 months for the year. But also, like the Arabs, arbitrarily decided that some months would be 30 days long, and others will be 31. One month would sometimes be 28 and sometimes 29. So a month could be now 28 days, it could be 29 days, it could be 30 days, and we 31. And when we accept this, we say goodbye to Allah and to His Prophet and to the Aslaf and to all of this civilization before the advent of modern civilization. We say goodbye to all of them, and we now faithfully follow Dajjal. We remind our gentle readers that the calendar of Pope Gregory the 13th, which is now almost universally used, as well as the previous Julian calendar, they represent a destructive attack on the system of time, the sacred system of time, which functions everywhere in Allah's creation, in which the lunar month is located at the very heart. They both abandon that sacred system of time and substituted in its place a bogus and pagan system of time, which they chose like the pagan Arabs before them. They kept 12 months to constitute 1 year, but they now arbitrarily decided to dispense with the lunar month and to replace it with months which sometimes have 28 days, 29 days, 30 days, or 31 days. Modern Western civilization went on to impose this satanic system of time on all of mankind. And in the process, the pagan West has succeeded in getting 999 of every 1,000 of mankind to abandon the sacred system of time given by Allah. Our gentle readers, as well as the conventional world of Islamic scholarship, do not need PhDs to recognize that the Pope in Rome acted in this way on behalf of Dajjal, the false Messiah. As a consequence of the universal acceptance of this change from the lunar system of time, in which most people entered into kufr or disbelief, mankind now no longer lives in the system of time ordained by Allah. Most Muslims now turn to the moon only for the purpose of determining when will Ramadan begin, when is Eid al-Fitr. Here is compelling evidence which confirms the dire warning in the Quran in Surah Al-Asr, that when the late afternoon of history arrives, mankind will be in a state of loss, save those who have faith and whose conduct is righteous and who exhort each other to hold on to truth and to be patient in adversity. And truth is in the Book of Allah. The Quran prophesied that mankind will abandon the moon one day. The moon will be broken, meaning one day you'll abandon the moon. This is precisely what has now occurred. Just ask anyone in the world today, how old are you? And he'll give you his age in accordance with Dajjal's system of time. The result of this abandonment of the system of time ordained by Allah is that the ominous prophecy of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam will now be fulfilled for most of mankind, and a strange and ominous world has emerged in which time is now moving faster and yet faster. The Prophet of Allah prophesied that a year will pass like a mountain swamp. When mankind abandoned the system of time ordained by Allah and was seduced in embracing the bogus system of time of ever-advancing technological time, the predictable result was that the mizan or balance ordained by Allah in His creation was disturbed, and the hearts of most mankind today, most of mankind, no longer beat in harmony with time as ordained by Allah. This is the explanation for the perception that time is now moving faster and yet faster. Islamic eschatology allows us to identify that rival system of technological time, in which time moves faster and yet faster with Dajjal, the false messiah. We do so, of course, within the context of an Islamic eschatological explanation of modern Western civilization, which, like Dajjal, has the word kafir written on its forehead. Dajjal's master plan for delivering both a bogus system of time as well as a faster moving technological time is unfolding before our bewildered eyes. And the first two casualties are as follows. Number one, firstly, those who are trapped in faster moving technological time no longer have time to recite the Quran as it ought to be recited, meaning cover to cover once a month. The Quran has recorded a complaint of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who complained to Allah that his people will forsake this Quran. This is Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 230. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبْ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord God, my people have forsaken the Quran. The very first evidence of such betrayal of the Quran is when Muslims no longer recite the Quran in accordance with the divinely ordained way that it must be recited. As a consequence of his betrayal of the Book of Allah, they can neither study the Quran, nor can the Quran deliver to them a hijab, this is Surah Al-Isra, which would separate them from the godless world and cover and protect them from so many dangers unfolding in the world in the end time, including the virus. Secondly, as they abandon the system of time ordained by Allah, they are eventually condemned to live in a spiritual vacuum. And as they embrace by faster moving technological time, they become imprisoned in Dajjal's system of time. Such people become shallow thinkers who live moment to moment in small capsules of time. They cannot connect the dots of history to read and to understand the past correctly. They cannot penetrate the world today in order to understand the reality which now confronts them. And they lack the insight with which to anticipate the even more dangerous world which lies ahead. Our main purpose in this talk is to direct attention to the role of continuous recitation of the Quran, cover to cover, every lunar month, and in the way that Allah has ordained that the Quran must be recited. That this is the means through which you can recover that lost mizan and also return to the system of time ordained by Allah and escape from Dajjal's system of time. This is possible because Allah has delivered a mizan in the Quran. And as they recite the Quran, as it ought to be recited, the Quran restores mizan to their hearts. As the reader follows the method of recitation of the Quran explained in my book, The Quran and the Moon, he and she will recover the mizan of time and constantly experience a return to the perception of time moving normally. Many people have written to me to say, Sheikh, since we are reciting the Quran this way, we no longer perceive time moving faster and faster. We have presented compelling evidence of the strategic importance of Islamic eschatology as it recognizes this extraordinary role of the continuous, genuine recitation of the Quran for delivering safety in the end time. The Quran was not just sent to Muslims. The Quran was sent to all of mankind. As a consequence, it should be clear to the Hindu, to the Buddhist, to the Jew, to the Christian, as well as to the Muslim, that only the Quran can restore the heart to normal time. It is for this reason that the Quran is divinely protected. Our final comment is to direct attention to the difference between mechanical spirituality, which appears to have taken over most of the world of contemporary Sufism today, and the spirituality of the Quran, of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and of the Aslaf. The Aslaf, his companions. And that spirituality delivers basar. Basar, to see with the internal eye. It is with basar, and only with basar, that a new world of Islamic scholarship can emerge in the model of the scholarship of Khidr alayhi salam, which will dazzle the world in that last shower of rain which is to come in the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And no scholar in the modern age has made a greater effort to direct us to that model of scholarship that is to come than my teacher of blessed memory, Maulana Dr. Muhammad Fadlur Rahman Ansari, Rahimahullah. I urge that you should all study his book, his masterpiece, The Quranic Foundations and Structure of Muslim Society, in two volumes. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.